Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Sheriff Griffiths files for re-election. Hector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths on Thursday filed to seek his third term as sheriff of Hector County. Griffiths said when he first ran, he wanted to make some changes and improve and expand the office. We wanted more equipment and better pay for boots on the ground who go and fight the fight every day. He said they now have a fleet program and also better equipment and pay. We were the last local agency to issue service weapons to officers, and we got good ones and did not skimp. We paid for them with seized money and donations. We got pay up where we are very competitive. He said he wants another term to continue with the improvements at both the jail and the sheriff's department. He said he hopes to eventually lead the office in better shape than he found it. The next in line can take it and run with it and make more improvements. Griffiths is a lifelong Odessan and a Republican. No one else has filed for the office. In 2016, Griffiths defeated Joe Commander by about 45 votes for his first term in office. He was unopposed 4 years later. Sheriff terms run 4 years, and during the last legislative session, legislation passed requiring all Texas sheriffs to be certified peace officers, which Griffiths is. He is married to Allison Griffiths. Visit VoteTexas.org for more on the coming primaries in March of 2024. Celebrating Unity for All. Get into the Christmas spirit by lending a hand to those in need. A Helping Hand for All has scheduled its 7th Annual International Meeting of Countries at 2 p.m. December the 3rd at Juan Alvarez Ramirez Park, 420 West Otta Street. Families and representatives from 15 countries, including Mexico, Honduras, Colombia, and Guatemala, who live in Odessa, will be on site serving regional cuisine, playing live music, and will have an area with children's entertainment. The event is also scheduled to host a health fair where attendees can be tested for diabetes, high blood pressure, and get more information about health care for their eyes and teeth. Una Mano Amiga para Todos is a nonprofit organization based in Odessa seeking to generate wellness opportunities and services through unity with the aim of improving the conditions of families in the community. The group also assists families from Pan-American countries looking to navigate the immigration and naturalization process in the United States. Luz Amparo Costa, organizer of the event, said other local nonprofits will be on site to assist attendees looking for assistance in areas ranging from insurance to health care. She hopes people will come out, and even if they don't utilize services, come out and learn more about other cultures. This is going to be a really good event, organizer Luz Amparo Costa said. Giving back a curbside Thanksgiving. Local restaurant continues its annual tradition. While training to become a chef, Alejandro Barrientos made a promise to God. If he ever became successful, he would always make it a point to give to those less fortunate. To call Barrientos' career a success would be to underestimate. Since opening Curbside Bistro in 2014, Barrientos has expanded his food truck into a brick-and-mortar location in Odessa, been the recipient of a James Beard Foundation Award, opened a second location in Midland, and was crowned the winner on an episode of Food Network's Chopped. A man of his word, Barrientos is always looking for ways to feed those in need, from children to first responders. This Thanksgiving, he plans on continuing an almost decade-old tradition of giving. This is going to be our 9th year, and it's important to get involved with your community, Barrientos said of the annual Thanksgiving event Curbside Bistro hosts. We've been blessed in what we've done and accomplished, and this is going to be one for the books. From the inaugural meal in 2014, which fed about 600 people, Barrento said about 1,600 people were served in 2022. With the addition of the Midland location, he expects to surpass that number. The Midland meal will begin at 11 a.m. November the 22nd at 607 North Colorado Street. The Odessa meal will be at 11 a.m. November the 23rd at 3816 Andrews Highway. Both events will continue until food runs out, Barrento said. The menu includes turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, green bee casserole, gravy, rolls, dessert, and a drink. The event is free and will be served drive-through style. People will be able to drive up to the restaurant and request plates without having to leave their vehicle. There's no reservations, no VIP, no questions asked, Barrento said. You just show up and we'll ask how many plates you need. Volunteers are always needed. Brandy Odom says she's hoping to finally be able to jump in the line and help serve food. The owner of the Cake Company of Odessa, Odom has been bringing desserts to Barrento's event since 2015 to serve with the dinner. That first donation, a way to ensure holiday orders that weren't picked up got used, soon became an annual tradition of preparing desserts for curbside bistro. A lot of us try to think outside the box when it comes to giving back, but he's actually gone out and taken it by the reins, she said. Giving back, a curbside Thanksgiving. Local restaurant continues its annual tradition. While training to become a chef, Alejandro Barrentos made a promise to God. If he ever became successful, he would always make it a point to give to those less fortunate. To call Barrientos' career a success would be to underestimate. Since opening Curbside Bistro in 2014, Barrientos has expanded his food truck into a brick-and-mortar location in Odessa, been the recipient of a James Beard Foundation Award, opened a second location in Midland, and was crowned the winner on an episode of Food Network's Chopped. A man of his word, Barrientos is always looking for ways to feed those in need, from children to first responders. This Thanksgiving, he plans on continuing an almost decade-old tradition of giving. This is going to be our ninth year, and it's important to get involved with your community, Barrientos said of the annual Thanksgiving event Curbside Bistro hosts. We've been blessed in what we've done and accomplished, and this is going to be one for the books. From the inaugural meal in 2014, which fed about 600 people, Barrientos said about 1,600 people were served in 2022. With the addition of the Midland location, he expects to surpass that number. The Midland meal will begin at 11 a.m. November the 22nd at 607 North Colorado Street. The Odessa meal will be at 11 a.m. November the 23rd at 3816 Andrews Highway. Both events will continue until food runs out, Barrientos said. The menu includes turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, green bee casserole, gravy, rolls, dessert, and a drink. The event is free and will be served drive-through style. People will be able to drive up to the restaurant and request plates without having to leave their vehicle. There's no reservations, no VIP, no questions asked, Barrientos said. You just show up and we'll ask how many plates you need. Volunteers are always needed. Brandy Odom says she's hoping to finally be able to jump in the line and help serve food. The owner of the Cake Company of Odessa, Odom has been bringing desserts to Barrientos' event since 2015 to serve with the dinner. That first donation, a way to ensure holiday orders that weren't picked up got used, soon became an annual tradition of preparing desserts for curbside bistro. A lot of us try to think outside the box when it comes to giving back, but he's actually gone out and taken it by the reins, she said. Dear Abby, my girlfriend and I started dating a couple years ago after getting out of long-term relationships. We have kids from those relationships, and she is still in court over custody. We haven't been able to buy a house yet, mostly because of the cost of the court battle, so we live apart and can't spend as much time together as we'd like. However, when we do have the time, she usually wants her kids to join. She says she wants her kids everywhere with her. She has also told me I will never come first. I have custody of my son and want to spend time with him too, but I think we need to spend time as a couple and make our relationship important. I feel both the relationship and the kids should be priorities, but not always one over the other. Recently, we learned a band we both love and grew up listening to is coming to our town. We were excited about going, but she wants to buy tickets for herself and her son because he said he likes the band when he hears his mom listening to it. He is 10, and whenever we do things like this, he ends up playing games on his phone all night. I end up being babysitter, buying drinks and food for him, taking him to the bathroom, etc., which prevents me from relaxing and enjoying my time. The tickets are not cheap, and if we bought them separately, we would not be able to get seats together. She says she's definitely buying tickets for herself and her son and hopes I can make it and maybe she'll see me there. This event is something I felt would be special for us to share together, but it appears she doesn't feel the same. Am I selfish for wanting to spend time with her at this concert? Without kids? Signed, Craving Date Night in Virginia. Dear Craving, says Dear Abby, I don't think you are selfish for wanting to have a date night with your girlfriend. In fact, I think one should be scheduled with her on a regular basis. This woman does not appear to be as into you as you are into her. Another thing that concerns me is your statement about her making you responsible for her son when the three of you attend an event together. A trip to the bathroom I can understand, but she should take her son to the snack stand if he wants something. Something is out of balance here, and I hope you will think long and hard before investing in a house together. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been together for 20 years, married almost 10. He is angry with my adult children for not coming to our wedding. I had told him if they couldn't be happy for me, stay away. He avoids any social interaction with them. Last weekend, there was a formal affair for my brother, and again, my husband didn't join me. I'm sick of hearing, he is the way he is, and can't suck it up for my sake. He's now sleeping in the guest room. I love him, but I'm sick of the nonsense. Any advice? Signed, Tired of It in Connecticut. Dear Abby says, because you and your husband are in an impasse, my advice is to seek couples counseling from someone who is licensed to give it. Your doctor or health insurance provider could give you a referral. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 70-year-old woman who has been using Estrace vaginal cream weekly for several years. I am in excellent health, work out daily, run half marathons, and have my own business. I take 10 milligrams of atrovastatin daily. 10 years ago, I had melanoma removed from my arm. My concern is the use of Estrace. My gynecologist recommended that I use it after a pap smear, but my primary care physician is not of the same mind. I would appreciate your opinion on this. My mother had breast cancer in her 80s, my sister had uterine cancer, and my brother passed away from bladder cancer. Dr. Roach answers, as far as the safety of using Estrace, the bioidentical hormone, to major natural estrogen, I am definitely of the same opinion as your gynecologist. When used topically, it works on the vulva and the lining of the vagina, keeping the tissue healthy. Without estrogen, the tissues that line the female perineum can become atrophic or thinned, predisposing a woman to discomfort, infections, and incontinence. The pap smear may have resulted in a finding that was suggestive of vaginal atrophy. Without treatment, the labia can even fuse together. With long-term use, the estrogen levels in the body are only slightly higher in women who use topical estrogen compared to those who do not. So the absorption into the body is minimal. The only time I get concerned is with a person who has a personal history of an estrogen-sensitive tumor, such as endometrial cancer and some breast cancers. In those cases, I discuss options with both the patient and their oncologist. The flu is soaring in 7 states, rising in others. The U.S. flu season is underway, with at least 7 states reporting high levels of illnesses and cases rising in other parts of the country, health officials say. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention posted new flu data on Friday, showing very high activity last week in Louisiana and high activity in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico, and South Carolina. It was also high in the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, the U.S. territory where health officials declared an influenza epidemic earlier this month. "We're off to the races," said Dr. William Schaffner, a Vanderbilt University infectious disease expert. Traditionally, the winter flu season ramps up in December or January, but it took off in October last year and is making a November entrance this year. Flu activity was moderate but rising in New York City, Arkansas, California, Maryland, New Jersey, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. And while flu activity has been high in Alaska for weeks, the state did not report data last week, so it wasn't part of the latest count. Chaplain Herget leads volunteers at MCH. Recently succeeded the late Farrell Ard. "There's a lot of emotion going on in a hospital the size of Medical Center Hospital, and it is the gargantuan job of recently appointed new chaplain and director of pastoral care, Doug Herget, to deal with it and make things as good as possible for the patients and their families and friends. Following the venerable chaplain Farrell Ard, who died in April, the Reverend Herget had volunteered at MCH since 1990, and he was already quite familiar with the 200 volunteers and the 20 to 25-member core group of pastors who counsel those who are being treated and those who worry about them. Farrell was a great man. He loved people, and he was very ecumenical. The same with everybody, denominational, interdenominational. He didn't care what church you were a member of, or even if you were religious. We try to be here for everyone in their time of need." Herget is a native of Missouri who graduated from high school in Quincy, Illinois, came to Odessa at age 17 with his family, studied at Odessa College and the University of Texas Permian Basin, and took a degree at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary in Newburgh, Indiana. He is the longtime pastor of Odessa Tabernacle Church, where he continues to pursue his extensive ministry to the homeless. Herget and his wife Cindy have a daughter. "Our volunteer chaplains are very loving and kind. Just a great bunch of folks to work around, being with patients and their families to provide comfort and spiritual guidance, whatever they need," he said. "They come from all around the Permian Basin, and we couldn't do what we do as well as we do it without them." MCH has 402 beds. "It's not like it used to be where you could just walk in and start volunteering," Herget said. "We do background checks. The volunteers fill out applications and get letters of recommendation from their home churches, signed on church letterheads by the senior leadership. We live in a more dangerous world where we have to be aware of potential active shooters because hospitals are considered soft targets. So we work very closely with hospital security." Herget said MCH is in many ways a polyglot institution with multiple languages being spoken. "There are enough staff members and volunteers who are bilingual in English and Spanish to help patients and visitors who speak Spanish only. But there are also Filipino staffers who speak Tagalog, and the online My accessible real-time trusted interpreter system is often employed with its ability to sound out any language in the world. We see a lot of people from different cultures and backgrounds, Herget said. Hospital President, CEO Russell Tippin, said Herget is the perfect successor to ARD. Chaplain Doug is synonymous with MCH, and we can't imagine this place without him, said Tippin. His dedication to our patients and their families is second to none. Doug is here at all times, day or night, to make sure every single patient and family is prayed for and taken care of in their times of need. He is the selfless and spiritual leader that every health system yearns to have. Prentice files for Ector County Attorney. Odessa Attorney and Republican Julie Prentice has filed to run for Ector County Attorney. The former Ector County District Attorney's Office prosecutor said she filed Thursday, and this is her first time to run for public office. Prentice grew up all over the place and around the Dallas area, but with family in Midland, and said the family often vacationed in West Texas, and that she moved here 11 years ago after law school and, quote, fell in love with the people and this is home. She is a graduate of Texas A&M, Kingsville, and also a 2012 graduate of Texas A&M School of Law, formerly Texas Wesleyan University School of Law. She previously worked under both former DA Bobby Bland and also current DA Dusty Gallivan at the Ector County District Attorney's Office as a prosecutor. She then sought out civil experience and currently works at the Jimenez Law Firm in Odessa, where she practices both family and criminal law. If elected, she said she will be a full-time county attorney for Ector County and will not have a private practice. Lee McClendon is the current county attorney. My plan is to be a full-time county attorney, and I believe we desperately need someone to be excited to fill that role, she said Friday morning. She decided to run after going into private practice to gain civil experience, but said her heart is in public service. I've known it for a long time. I want to help people, and I want to love this community so much, and we have a need for someone to push that agenda forward and make our county even better. One item she is excited to work on is the juvenile detention center. She said the price to build a new one is going up every day, and she wants to be a part of moving that in the right direction. She said she believes too many legal issues are farmed out to expensive outside counsel, and that is something she would like to see tapered back to save the county money. I am sure I can properly advise and help that out. The big thing is to have in-house counsel, she added. The other big thing is I want to work on game rooms. The commissioners and county judge have done a good job so far, but with initiatives, I think we can be tighter on that issue. She praised the work of the court and County Judge Dustin Fawcett with helping improve Ector County, and said she can also bring a positive attitude and an excitement for the job to the table. She said she is a volunteer for Teen Court and the chair for the Young Professionals of Odessa this year. She also currently serves on the ODC Compliance Committee. She previously served on the board of the Permian Playhouse and has volunteered with the Girl Scouts. She said voters will find that she has energy and enthusiasm to bring to the job. I have a passion for this county and this position. For too long, we have been reactive, and I want to help move us forward. I am the right person to bring the energy to do that. The primary elections are in March 2024. Prentice's treasurer is Odessa attorney Melanie Holman. Obituaries. Phyllis Ann Holly passed away peacefully in her sleep on Tuesday, November the 14th. She will be laid to rest on November the 17th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Don Kenneth Hyman, age 88, passed away on Saturday, October the 21st. A private memorial service will be held at a later date. Billie Jean Reagan passed away on Sunday, November the 12th, in Willow Park, Texas. A funeral service was held at Crescent Park Baptist Church in Odessa on Saturday the 18th. Delfino Acosta, age 64, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November the 14th. The family will receive friends for visitation on Monday, November the 20th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Clinton L. Red Hunt, age 92, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November the 14th, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Lonnie Clifton Stevens, age 90, of Kermit, died Wednesday, November the 15th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. November the 20th at Family Services Funeral Chapel in Kermit. John Kenneth Visson, age 88, passed away in Brunswick, Maine on October the 22nd. Amanda Bell Renfro of Odessa, age 42, passed away on November the 13th. Visitation was on Saturday, November the 18th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Rosalind Carter, in hospice care at home. The former First Lady, Rosalind Carter, is in hospice care at home in Plains, Georgia, joining former President Jimmy Carter, who has been receiving end-of-life care since February, their family announced on Friday. The Carter family said they are grateful for the outpouring of love and support, but asked for privacy. The Carters have been married for 77 years and are the longest married presidential couple in the U.S. The family announced earlier this year that the 96-year-old former First Lady is suffering from dementia. The former president, now 99, entered hospice care at home in February, but remains alert, those close to him say. They have been together through Jimmy Carter's rise from their Georgia farm to his election to the presidency in 1976. After his 1980 defeat, the couple established the Carter Center in Atlanta as a global center to advocate human rights, democracy, and public health. I loved politics, Rosalind Carter told the Associated Press in 2021. She said she had the best time campaigning on her husband's behalf in what they both described as a full partnership. Long after leaving the White House, Jimmy Carter said, "The best thing I ever had happen in my life was when she said she'd marry me." The family's announcement Friday brought a new round of tributes. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock called the former First Lady a remarkable woman of great faith and said her service to Georgia and our country is part of an incredible legacy. West Texas VA holds town hall to update veterans. The West Texas VA will have a town hall for veterans, caregivers, and veteran service organizations from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on November the 28th at the Sweetwater VFW, 1500 Cypress Road in Sweetwater. Leadership of the West Texas VA healthcare system and the VBA Waco Regional Office will continue the organization's conversation about VA healthcare, system operations, access, quality, and timeliness with an open forum. This is an opportunity for veterans, family members, and other stakeholders to hear updates, ask questions, express concerns, and share ideas. Town hall meetings provide a great opportunity for VA leaders to hear directly from veterans about challenges and issues they see so that we can make changes to better serve them. West Texas VA Healthcare System Director Keith Bass said in a news release, "These events also allow us to communicate about VA healthcare programs, services, and other benefits veterans have earned. Veterans and family members who were not able to stop by this event may always provide feedback via email to wtxvapublicaffairs@va.gov.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 20th. TxDOT issues traffic alerts for November 20th through November 30th. The Texas Department of Transportation has issued traffic alerts for the following dates and locations. Midland County, November 20th. Maintenance crews will be performing debris removal on IH-20 beginning on IH-20 at the Ector-Midland County line and ending at the Midland-Martin County line, mile markers 122 to 149. November 27th through 30th, maintenance crews will be performing road repairs on South Loop 250 beginning at South Loop 250 and Wadley and continuing until South Loop 250 and County Road 87, mile markers 274 to 286. Crane County, November 20th. Maintenance crews will be performing sweeping operations on FM 1233, mile markers 240 to 242. Upton County, November 20th. Maintenance crews will be installing signs on State Highway 349, beginning on State Highway 349 and the Midland-Upton County line, and continuing to Rankin City limits, mile markers 362 to 392. Maintenance crews will be performing debris removal on U.S. Highway 67, beginning at U.S. 67 at the Reagan-Upton County line, and continuing to County Road 311, mile markers 764 to 796.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, November 18th, 2023. UTPB makes Midland home during historic football season. Midland is where the University of Texas Permian Basin football team has made its home during this historic season. Saturday's NCAA Division II playoff game will the Falcons' sixth at Astound Broadband Stadium, and their record in Midland this year is a stellar 5-0. That included last week's 42-14 thumping over nationally ranked number 23 Central Washington to win the program's first Lone Star Conference championship. The win helped pave the way to a number 3 seed in its region and another home game in Midland, of course. The first round playoff matchup will be against Bemidji State at 1 p.m. Quote, "It's hard to find a moment better than last weekend's game when we won the Lone Star Conference Championship," end quote, UTPB Athletic Director Todd Dooley said of his favorite Midland moment. Quote, "Seeing this team set a goal and accomplish it was extremely satisfying. As the Director of Athletics, I want all of our sports programs to have a championship experience," end quote. The Midland option is a natural one, according to Dooley. UTPB prefers playing at Astound over Ratliff Stadium in Odessa, admittedly a mecca for football fans, Dooley noted, because of the cost of renting the facility and the amenities offered in Midland. Quote, "We're able to provide fans access to premium seating options," end quote, Dooley stated. Quote, "Specifically, we sell multiple suites to fans, which generates more ticket revenue for the department. Additionally, the Office of the President and Athletics Department host donors and potential donors in hospitality suites at Astound Broadband Stadium," end quote. Playing at a venue that allows the sale of alcohol is another perk, according to UTPB's Director of Athletics. Dooley said school officials, quote, "want to provide every option available so our fans have a top-notch experience at our games. And this speaks directly to the amenities offered at Astound," end quote. Fans have responded to the amenities offered as attendance in Midland averages around 5,000 a game, according to Dooley. Coincidentally, the success of the team this year might hasten UTPB's retreat back to Odessa in the future. Dooley noted that UTPB has plans to play college football on campus. Quote, "We want to get it done not only for the team, but for campus as well," end quote, Dooley said. Quote, "This season drives on-campus football stadium even further and potentially a much quicker timeline. The ability to host 5,000 to 7,000 fans on our campus over several fall Saturdays would be transformational for the entire university, end quote. Fans can purchase tickets and a tailgate spot for the NCAA Division II playoff game on the school's website, www.utpbfalcons.com/tickets. West Texas Pride on tap at Tall City Brewing Company. Not many local spots can say their first 4 years of business compares to those of Tall City Brewing Company. The taproom's success goes beyond financially maintaining the large Golf Course Road brick and mortar. Community engagement, partnerships with local sports teams, weekly events, an annual invitational, and statewide inventory speak to the efforts and commitment from the team. But don't be fooled. The road to being one of the top-ranked breweries in West Texas forced owners Jeff Thomas, Joshua Sparks, Nicholas Schmidt, Jared Sparks, and Eric Schmidt to be adaptable. 4 months into opening, the COVID-19 pandemic left the craft beer enthusiasts no choice but to close. After getting the necessary permits, Tall City Brewing survived off beer-to-go and growler sales through a makeshift drive-through system. Once the contagious dust settled, the infamous new spot in Midland, Hype, took over. Although grateful for the giving community he'd always known, Thomas knew he and his fellow partners needed to be prepared to hit the ground running. Quote, "The hype sells itself, but we knew, just with anything, newness ends and fades. We wanted to make sure we kept up with doing events, creating new beers, attaching ourselves with the Midland Rockhounds, West Texas FC, places like the Museum of the Southwest, where they do events and promote us," end quote. Thomas explained, quote, "We want to make sure we raise the bar for Midland and stay a unique spot, and we feel like we've done that," end quote. Through unique and palate-expanding innovations, Tall City Brewing Company began leading the charge for West Texas and Panhandle breweries, compelling big city folks to not underestimate the abilities and creative convictions of small-town players. Quote, "When I first started here, not even the bigger ones, but breweries our size, it felt like they kind of looked down on Midland beer," end quote, TCBC's sales and marketing manager, Stephen Alexander, admitted. Quote, "We have a very open-minded staff," end quote, Thomas added. Quote, "Joe, head brewer, stays on top of trends and researches the dog out of them to figure it out. Then he makes it so well, other breweries start asking him how he made it," end quote. Nevertheless, the triumphs heavily outweigh any adversity, and Thomas gives all the credit to a hard-working staff, an encouraging community, and the Tall City Brewing Company motto, West Texas Beer for West Texans. Quote, "One thing I've seen is a lot of breweries don't stick to their roots. They don't rely on their community. So they get too big and start overproducing. Their brand gets lost," end quote, Alexander commented. Quote, "You lose the personal touch, the character," end quote, Thomas added. Quote, "In order to survive out here and live out here, you've got to be built a little bit different. Midland's unique in the fact that you have all these people that come in for the oil and gas business, for the most part, and they do 2 to 4 years here and go back. We want them to take this brand back with them. When people think of craft beer in Texas, we want them to think of West Texas, and that's our battle cry," end quote. As for the future of the brewery, Thomas said the crew plans to focus on continuing their Lone Star impact and maintaining their home here in the Tall City. To honor the birthday, Tall City Brewing Company is offering special tap releases and returns Friday and Saturday during operating hours, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Find the crew at 3303 West Golf Course Road. What's up with Midland? Cafe at the Gardens, Thursday night dinner and live music, November 30th. Centennial Park, Rise and Run Saturday, Christmas tree lighting, November 28th. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location every Saturday. Eccentric Brewing Company, open mic and local showcase, November 25th. The Ector Theater, Riff Raff, November 22nd. Horseshoe, Gifty Grinchmas, Saturday. Silver Spur Trade Show, Saturday and Sunday. I-20 Wildlife Preserve, Texas Recycles Day at Nature Centers, Saturday, November 24th through 25th. La Hacienda, Los Tigres del Norte, November 24th. Midland Animal Control, Rescue Runners, Saturday. Midland Beer Garden, Massa Pop-Up, and Adoption Event, Saturday. Midland Community Theater, The Sound of Music, Saturday through Sunday, November 24th through 25th, December 1st through 2nd, 8th through 9th, 15th through 16th. The Tailgate, Basin Brunch, Saturday, Family Fun Day every Sunday, Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday, Tall City Beer Run every Thursday, Anniversary Party, Saturday, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Paw Patrol Live, Heroes Unite, Saturday and Sunday, A Very Merry Mojo Christmas Concert, November 28th, UTPB Symphonic Winds Concert, November 30th, The Waystone, Small Biz, Saturday, November 25th, Live Music, November 25th, West Texas Food Bank, Turkey Trot, Saturday. Biz Buzz, Love Links by Emily creates memorable permanent jewelry. Love Links Permanent Jewelry by Emily, based in Odessa, creates custom permanent bracelets, necklaces, anklets, and more. Love Links, owned by Emily Kidd, attends local pop-up markets and private events to create custom jewelry for West Texans. Kidd first heard about permanent jewelry last year after 4 or 5 months of practicing with the tools and techniques necessary to create custom pieces. Kidd officially started Love Links last August. Kidd purchases gold-filled and sterling silver chains wholesale. Customers then choose which chain they want and what piece of jewelry they want, an anklet, bracelet, etc. Kidd then custom fits the chain and welds a jump ring together, creating a piece of jewelry with no clasp. Love Links permanent jewelry is waterproof and its high-quality chains don't tarnish. Kidd was first introduced to permanent jewelry at a group outing with friends. Quote, when I got my first one, I went with a group of my friends, and it's just something fun to do together, and we all got one, end quote, she said. Last weekend, Kidd attended a baby shower where the host gifted Love Links custom bracelets to the guests for attending. Kidd goes to birthday parties and any group outing that wants to make custom jewelry a part of the experience. As the holidays approach, Kidd discussed why jewelry, and more specifically permanent jewelry, makes a memorable gift. Quote, the first piece I got, I remember my friend's girl's trip that weekend. So it's fun to do together as a gift to each other, or I offer gift cards if you want to come out to one of the markets or plan on having a party, then I'll honor those. It's just a different kind of gift that's a little more sentimental that you can give to someone, to somebody, end quote, Kidd said. Kidd discussed the local pop-up market scene and how it benefits small local businesses. Love Links was at the Modern Pop-Up Market at the Tailgate on November 11th and will be back again December 9th. Kidd also will be at the Mistletoe Market at Centennial Park on November 28th and the Parade of Lights Market in Odessa on December 2nd. Kidd credited the local market scene with providing exposure, advertising, and connection. Quote, it helps get your name out there, end quote, Kidd said. Quote, it's a lot of fun for me to get to meet people and meet other vendors around here. I've met a lot of girls that I've become good friends with who have their own small businesses around here, and we get to promote each other, end quote. Kidd said the process should be enjoyable for the creator, and it's all trial and error. Quote, this has just been fun to get to know and practice as you go, and to not be worried about failing because it's a fun thing to do, end quote, Kidd said. Quote, it's something that anyone can do because it's all learning and trial and error. The more you do it, the better you get at it, end quote. Midland restaurants, places offering Thanksgiving meals. Note, this is a list of restaurants and businesses offering pre-order meals, entrees, sides, and desserts. A list of restaurants open on Thanksgiving will be published at a later date. Big Meat Z Barbecue. A large array of succulent slow-smoked meats, sides, appetizers, and desserts are available through three size options. A minimum of 10 people required, and prices vary on size order. A deadline has not been specified. Call 432-234-9086 or email bigmeatzbbqcatering@gmail.com. Ask for a pickup location. Cozy Lynn's Sweets. A dozen Thanksgiving-themed cookies, costing anywhere from $15 to $45 and needing to be ordered by November 19th, pick up November 21st and 22nd, 103 East Dormard Avenue. Cracker Barrel. An array of heat and serve meals offering turkey and prime rib options ranging from $100 to $150. Pies for $13 are also available. Order at www.crackerbarrel.com, 3108 North Loop 250 West. Half Acre, a $200 meal for 10 featuring a 6 to 8 pound turkey, 2 quarts each of stuffing, green beans, mashed potatoes, gravy, and 10 dinner rolls. Order by November 20th by calling 432-218-7735, texting 432-703-3577, or emailing wecater@midlandmeatco.com. Pick up during regular business hours through November 22nd, 1101 Washita Court. HEB. Either a fully cooked turkey breast or a spiral sliced ham with cornbread stuffing, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, gravy, and cranberry sauce for $84. Another option includes a fully cooked whole turkey and sides for $156. Curbside dates run November 20th through 23rd, and home delivery dates run November 20th through 22nd. A $10 off coupon is available through November 23rd. Multiple locations. KD's Barbecue. Choose between a 7 to 8 pound brisket and 2 bottles of KD's barbecue sauce for $150, a 4 to 5 pound whole turkey breast and 1 bottle of KD's barbecue sauce for $70, or a 4 to 5 pound smoked ham and 1 bottle of KD's barbecue sauce for $80. Order must be placed by November 18th by calling 432-683-5013. Pick up at 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. November 21st or 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. November 22nd, 3109 Garden City Highway, Market Street. Available while supplies last through November 20th. Order a turkey breast dinner, prime rib dinner, sweets, slice ham dinner, smoked turkey dinner, or 2 different sides-only options. Prices range from $60 to $200. Visit www.marketstreetunited.com/holidaydinners. Pickup depends on order. 4706 North Midkiff Road. Midland Meat Company. Bone-in, spiral-sliced, or boneless hams ranging from 5 to 15 pounds can be glazed, $10 a pound, or not glazed, $7 a pound. 100% organic heritage 8 to 20 pound turkeys, $9 a pound. Non-GMO all-natural 8 to 25-pound turkeys, $5 a pound. Non-GMO brined 12 to 18-pound turkeys, $5 a pound. And a natural bone-in 8 to 12-pound breast, $10 a pound. Available while supplies last, 2600 Loma Street. Ocho 80. Offering 7 different dinner options ranging from $95 to $820. Desserts are also available for $50. Check out all the choices at https://bit.ly/46j8j M k. Orders and full payment are due by November 18th. Pick up from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 23rd, 3100 West Wall Street. Ranchland Hills. A turkey feast for 10 costing $250 comes with a 22-pound bird, 2 dozen rolls, a choice of 5 sides, choice of 2 pies, and the ability to add other sides. Offered in 5-pound servings for $16 each and extra sweet treats for $20 or $25. Other a la carte options include a 16-pound prime rib for $400, half order for $225, 22-pound herb roasted turkey for $100, or a 7 to 9-pound honey smoked ham for $120. All orders due by November 18th by calling 432-683-2041 or emailing Sydney@events@ranchlandhills.com. Pickup happens from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. November 22nd, 1600 East Wadley Avenue. Tall City Bistro. Meal for 10, featuring a roasted turkey, baked ham, mashed potatoes, green beans, dressing, sweet potatoes, turkey giblets, and a pecan, pumpkin, or apple pie. Price costs $220. Order by November 21st at 432-813-9840. Pickup happening November 22nd. 400 West Illinois Avenue, Suite 195. Tall City Meat Market. Large 12 to 14 pound smoked turkeys and hams costing $85 each can be reserved by calling 432-218-7514. A deadline has not been specified. Ask about pickup times. 2909 North Big Spring Street. Valela Sanchez filed for Precinct 3 Commissioner's seat. Two Midland County residents have filed for the Precinct 3 seat on the Midland County Commissioner's Court, and that includes the first reported Democrat to have filed for the primary ballot. Stefan Valela has filed to run for the Republican Party nomination, while current seat holder Luis Sanchez has filed for the Democratic Party nomination. Sanchez is the first Democrat reported to have filed for the March 5th primary election. Valela is at least the 10th Republican. The reporter telegram shows at least 11 candidates have filed for seats. They include David Kreiner and Justin Painter for sheriff. Rory McKinney has also announced his intention to run for sheriff. Charles Hall and Terry Luck for Precinct 1 County Commissioner. Glenn Harwood for District Attorney. David Rogers for Judge of the 142 District Court. Jamie Hall, Precinct 4 Constable. Douglas Brown, Precinct 2 Constable. Mary Helen Bowers, Tax Assessor / Collector. The filing period continues through December 11th. Midland jobless rate drops to 2.4%. Unemployment in Midland-Odessa continues to near the lows seen before the COVID-19 pandemic upended global economies in 2020. The Texas Workforce Commission set Friday the October unemployment rate in its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Midland and Martin counties, dipped to 2.4% from 2.5% in September and below the 2.6% reported last October. Midland reported the state's lowest rate, followed by Amarillo with 2.9%, College Station Bryan at 3%, and Lubbock and Odessa at 3.2% each. Willie Taylor, Chief Executive Officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin Office, which oversees 17 West Texas counties, noted that the rate is approaching the low of 1.7% reached in April 2019 and has rapidly recovered from the high of 12.3% reached in April 2020 as the pandemic took hold. The tight labor market has also meant higher wages. The mining, logging, and construction sector in Midland alone reported $997 million in wages in the second quarter, down from more than $1.3 billion in the first quarter. Quote, "This is just a job seeker's market right now," end quote, he told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. Quote, "We continue to see shortages in everything from education to medical, law enforcement truck drivers to HVAC technicians," end quote. "The good news is," Taylor said, "most of the local community colleges are seeing an increase in people requesting training, so career and skills training are going well. One challenge has been offering child care to workers," he said. "The office has funding for child care," and Taylor said 2,400 children are being subsidized daily. "The problem is there aren't enough daycare slots available," he said. He is hopeful that the recently passed school bonds in Midland and Odessa will be a game changer for education and help attract the next generation of professionals who are looking not just for work opportunities and good wages, but good schools and good health care. Midland, Odessa, and the region are offering more opportunities for younger workers than ever before, he continued. But the labor market is so competitive and the region has to compete with metro areas like Dallas, Houston, Austin, and San Antonio. Quote, "If you want to come to the Permian Basin and work, there are opportunities," end quote, Taylor said. Despite the competition, quote, "our area is still one of the fastest growing markets in the nation," end quote, he said. Midland's civilian labor force held steady in October, inching up by just 60 from September and up 5,246 from 110,316 last October. The number of employed Midlanders rose by 200 over the month and is up 5,388 from 107,410 last year, while the number of unemployed fell by about 170 and is down 142 from 2,906 unemployed a year ago. Midland added 800 non-farm jobs from September to October for a job count of 121,700. The trade, transportation, and utilities sector led with the addition of 300 jobs, followed by the government sector with 200 jobs. The mining, logging, and construction sector, professional and business services sector, and private education and health services each added 100 jobs. For the 12 months from October 2022 to October 2023, Midland has added 5,900 jobs for a growth rate of 5.1%. Mining, logging, and construction dominated with 3,000 new jobs. The government sector followed with 1,000 new jobs, and the trade, transportation, and utility sector added 800 jobs. Private education and health services grew by 400 jobs. The manufacturing sector and other services sector each added 200 jobs. The financial activities sector, professional and business services sector, and the leisure and hospitality sector each added 100 jobs. Statewide, the unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%. The state added 20,900 to the civilian labor force for a new record high of 15,162,100. The number of employed grew for a 10th consecutive month with the addition of 21,100 Texans employed. While Midland reported the state's lowest unemployment, Beaumont, Port Arthur, and McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission reported the highest rate at 5.2% each. Midland unemployment, January 2023, 2.7%, January 2022, 3.9%, February 2023, 3.0%, February 2022, 3.6%, March 2023, 2.6%, March 2022, 3.1%, April 2023, 2.3%, April 2022, 2.8%, May 2023, 2.6%, May 2022, 2.8%, June 2023, 2.6%, June 2022, 3.2%, July 2023, 2.9%, July 2022, 2.9%, August 2023, 2.8%, August 2022, 2.8%, September 2023, 2.5%, September 2022, 2.6%, October 2023, 2.4%, October 2022, 2.6%. Preliminary numbers for October, with September numbers in parentheses. Midland, 2.4, 2.5. Amarillo, 2.9, 3.1. College Station, Bryan, 3.0, 3.2. Lubbock, 3.2, 3.3. Odessa, 3.2, 3.4. Abilene, 3.3, 3.5. Austin Round Rock, 3.3, 3.6. San Angelo, 3.4, 3.6. Texarkana, 3.5, 3.9. Waco, 3.5, 3.7. Dallas, Plano, Irving, 3.6, 3.9. Fort Worth, Arlington, 3.6, 3.8. San Antonio, New Braunfels, 3.6, 3.8. Tyler, 3.6, 3.9. Laredo, 3.7, 4.0. Sherman Denison, 3.7, 3.9. Wichita Falls, 3.7, 4.0. Victoria, 3.9, 4.1. Houston, The Woodlands, Sugarland, 4.1, 4.4. Longview, 4.1, 4.4. Corpus Christi, 4.2, 4.5. Killeen, Temple, 4.3, 4.5. El Paso, 4.4, 4.7. Brownsville, Harlingen, 4.9, 5.3. Beaumont, Port Arthur, 5.2, 5.8. McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, 5.2, 5.8. Donors choose. Teacher seeks Apple products for class. Mr. Burchett, an economics teacher at Greenwood High School, is seeking Apple products for his classroom. The project expires December 1st. There is $2,946 needed to fully fund it. Quote, I would like to make in-class research and in-classroom presentations easier to do by having easier access to information online for group projects. I will be able to use the MacBook, iPad, and Apple TV to stream presentations and information onto the class video board for students to have better visual learning. I would like to completely overhaul the in-class presentation process for group projects by creating a streamlined way for all students to be able to access the presentation information during the research process and the presentation process, end quote. Burchett posted. Donate online, https://www.donorschoose.org/project /economics-research-and-presentations/760-9974/.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.